Well, open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. In verses 1 through 16, we see the Israelites and the Philistines have had a battle. And the battle did not go well for the Israelites. And at the beginning of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 1, an Amalekite who was sojourning with the Israelites comes and gives the bad news to David that both Saul and Saul's son Jonathan have been killed in the battle. David is distraught over the news, and rightly so. And in verses 17 through 27, we have David's lament, his remembrance of Saul and Jonathan. And David is actually giving tribute to those fallen in battle for the good of their nation. Folks, it is right and it is good for us to do so, to give tribute and to give honor to those who would be fallen in battle. Even in the land of England, I'm told that they recognize the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour with 2 minutes of silence. And across the nation of England, all the cars stop or are supposed to stop. All the people walking the busy streets of London are supposed to stop. And for a while it was 2 minutes, I think now it's 1 minute. For 1 minute, everything stops and it's the time to remember those fallen in battle. So here in America, we have two holidays like that. We have Veterans Day, where we remember those who have served in our military. And then we have tomorrow, Memorial Day, where we remember those who've given that ultimate sacrifice. And here in this chapter, David remembers those fallen in battle. David and his men are really on a roller coaster of life at this present time. Sometimes life feels like a roller coaster, doesn't it? I mean, there's the ups and there's the downs. David and his men are on that coaster. They had a low time. They were living among the Philistines, and then things worked out where they were going to have to go to battle against their own nation, with the Philistines, against the Israelites. What a low time. But then they were on a high time because God got them out of that situation. And David and his men were dismissed. The Philistine Lord said, no, he might turn on us. We don't want him to fight with us. And David's like, got out of that one. And he was dismissed and everything was well. Everything was going well. Well, then he went back to his town of Ziklag. And when he got there, he found out Amalekites had raided the city, taken everything, including their wives and children. And this is one of the lowest times in David's life. His own mighty men who loved him and came out and would do anything for him, at this point, they turn on him, and some speak of stoning him. And we have that famous verse, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But it was a low time. It was a low time. Well, then God tells them to pursue the Amalekites, so they pursue. And amazingly, none of their wives or children were harmed. They recover all the people. They recover all the goods that were stolen. And is this still on? And then in addition, they recover all of the spoil that the Amalekites had from other places. So they came back blessed with more than they had before, and they're back on a high time again. How quickly our lives can change. We go from being like a little tail-wagging puppy, happy as can be, to what one North Carolina preacher, I heard him say one time, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Okay, think about that. That's pretty low. Okay, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon. And our lives can change just like that. Things can happen, a moment in time, a split-second decision. Why is life like this? Why are there ups and downs? I believe one is so we don't get tied up with the joy and pleasures of this life. Yeah, there's up times, there's joy and pleasure, but God doesn't want us so tied up with those that we don't focus on eternity. I think another reason for these highs and lows is so we depend on the Lord and not ourselves. If you're like me, when everything's going great, it's so easy to just depend on ourselves and think, hey, I got everything under control. You know, bills are paid, everything's fine. You know, family's good health. Everything's looking good. And on the high times, we're tempted to stop depending on the Lord and depend on ourselves. The truth is, folks, we don't have everything under control. Now, some of you may be control freaks. You know, you got to worry about every little detail. And I tend to be that way sometimes. But you know what? We don't have everything under control. Now, God's in control. He's not going to allow something, even a problem or trial in our life, without His knowing it. But folks, we're not the boss. And our lives have those ups and downs to remind us of that. Well, now in 2 Samuel chapter 1, we see David now. He just came off this wonderful high of recovering everything from the Amalekite raiders. And now he's on a low time, because King Saul's been killed. And perhaps his best friend in all the world, Jonathan, has been killed. And now David honors their memory. How should we feel when an enemy falls upon misfortune? Saul had set himself up as David's enemy. Remember, he was chasing David, and David had to hide in caves. A number of times, Saul tried to kill David with a javelin, tried to just pierce him right through and stick him right to the wall. How should we feel when our enemies come upon misfortune? To be honest with you, I'm awful tempted sometimes to think, good, you got yours, buddy. Like, remember when you're growing up in school? How many of you had a school bully in your school? Okay, how many of you were the school bully? Okay, you picked up people. All right. Well, you know, it's kind of like when the school bully finally gets in trouble or gets suspended for a couple days, and you're like, yes, this is great, you know. I was the skinny kid in school. And so I was glad when something like that happened. But you know, David's not like that. Even though Saul had set himself up as David's enemy, David grieves. Look down at verse number 19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Look down at verse number 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. And look down at verse number 27. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? I feel like I want to ask the Lord's help for the rest of the message. Let's pray. Father, as we think of soldiers who gave their lives for us, we cry out with David, how are the mighty fallen? And Father, as we see this grieving that David's going through, and how he decides to honor their memory, I pray that we would do likewise today, and that we would not in any way gloat over the misfortune of people maybe who are our enemies, but Lord, that we would love them. And I pray that we would honor the men and women who've given their lives so that we can have freedom here in America. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. David honors their memory. He does it by first grieving the fallen. You could tell in these verses that we read, he's grieving. You know, it's okay to grieve. It's good to grieve. It's right to grieve. Sometimes we try to be the tough guy, you know, and not grieve about things. But grieving is one of the ways that God has given us to allow our emotions to be poured out to Him, and to keep us from getting bitter. It's good to grieve. David grieves for the fallen, and then he honors the fallen. He focuses on the glory of the Lord. He focuses on the people of the Lord. And then in that last verse, he focuses on the weapons of the Lord. And I really believe when he says, how are the weapons of war perished, I think he's talking about the soldiers. They were those weapons of war. It wasn't a sword that died. It was Saul who wielded the sword. It was Jonathan who wielded the sword. Those were the weapons of war about which he grieves. But he doesn't just grieve, he honors their memory. And he honors their memory, first of all, by renewing the effort for God's cause. Look down at verse number 18. Verse 18, the Bible says, also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. So David said, now that King Saul has died, let's do something about it. Let's teach all the children of Judah in that particular tribe of Israel, let's teach them the use of the bow. Now, why did he choose the bow? Caleb? There you go. Remember, David used that bow as a signal to Jonathan, his best friend. Also, how was Saul killed? The archers. It was a bow that killed King Saul. And David's thinking, hey, listen, if they could fall some of the mightiest men in our nation with the bow, we need to know how to use the bow. And so David honors the death of Saul and Jonathan by renewing an effort for God's cause. He says, let's do something different. In honor of Saul, in honor of Jonathan, let's have the tribe of Judah learn how to use the bow. And we'll be a better nation for it. Our nation will be stronger. It'll help God's cause because they were God's nation. It'll help God's cause in this world if we do something special because of the death of Saul and Jonathan. Listen, may Memorial Day motivate us to renew our efforts to help this nation be a nation under God. Listen, our nation was founded as a nation under God. The Israelites were chosen as God's nation. And here at the time of mourning of the death of fallen soldiers, David says, let's renew our effort to help God's cause. And I believe that Memorial Day weekend is a great time for us as believers to say, let's renew our efforts for God's cause. Maybe it'll be something new. Okay, he taught them the use of the bow. Maybe it'll be something new. Maybe you'll say, you know what? People sacrifice so I could have a free nation, so I could worship the Lord, so I could give the gospel. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to start taking tracts out. I want to start giving out 3 or 4 tracts a week because I want to do something new to honor those who died so I could have the freedom. Maybe you take on something new and say, I'm going to start coming to Sunday school or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Or I'm going to start going soul winning on Saturday. I want to take on something new because of these people who made it so I'm free to do it. Let's exercise that freedom. And the first thing David did, he honored them by renewing the effort for God's cause. Secondly, he honored their memory by recognizing the enemy's outlook. This is interesting. Look at verses 19 through 21. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. Here David talks about the tragedy and he says, it's almost like a prayer to the Lord, don't let the Philistine cities rejoice in this. Don't let it be told. Don't let them find out about it. They're going to know. But David just wish that it would not be able to be told in the Philistine land. Why? Because David was concerned for the honor and glory of the Lord. And those heathen would think, oh yeah, their God is supposed to be so powerful. Yeah, toppled the walls of Jericho. But look, we conquered them. We got their king. And it broke David's heart to think that the glory of God was going to be dishonored. Also, I believe that David said this to help his men grieve over Saul and Jonathan. It's right to grieve. But David's mighty men, they may not have been as spiritual as David was. And they may not have had the right outlook. They may have been like, yes, Saul's finally dead. Now David's going to be the king and we're his right-hand men. We're going to move up, boys. This is wonderful. Finally, the time we've been waiting for. And David says, no, guys. You need to grieve. Do you understand what the Philistines are probably doing right now? They're probably rejoicing over the fact that they think that they conquered God and they conquered the true and living God because they got our king. You know, opposition is one of the greatest forms of respect. If Saul and Jonathan were wimpy and weren't that important, then the Philistines wouldn't rejoice over it, would they? Think about that. But the fact that they rejoiced over it, and David was concerned that they would rejoice over it, shows that Saul and Jonathan really were honorable. And they really were doing some things for God's cause. And they really were helping the nation of Israel to stay out from under the Philistines. Listen, opposition is one of the greatest forms of respect. And if other nations look at America and think, oh yeah, Memorial, let's get America. Let's terrorize them. Let's do some terrorist attacks. You know why they attack America? Because we're the greatest nation. You see? And opposition is one of the greatest forms of respect. And if people oppose you in your life, praise God for it. Praise God for it. If the devil is trying to mess you up your Christian life and you're being tempted, you ought to think, wow, God must want to do something special with my life. If the devil's working this hard on me, Lord, help me. Help me to do what's right. Because you got plans for my life, Lord. Opposition is one of the greatest forms of respect. And David honors their memory by thinking about the enemy's outlook. Think about the enemy's outlook in your own life. What's the devil trying to do in your life? Yeah, God's trying to do something, but so is the devil. What would be the devil's plan for your life when it comes to faithfulness in church? What would be the devil's plan in your life when it comes to tithes and offerings? What would be the devil's plan in your life when it comes to soul winning and witnessing? And what would be God's plan? See, recognizing the enemy's outlook is a great way to honor those that have gone on before us. Number three, David honors the fallen dead by recalling their excellent qualities. By recalling their excellent qualities. You know, there were some bad qualities about Saul that David could have talked about. Yeah, he was moody. And yeah, he got all upset at me and he threw a javelin at me and he did this and he did that. But David doesn't recall any of that. David honors their excellent qualities. Keep your finger there, but turn to Romans chapter 12. It is right for us, when someone passes away, to remember the good things. Oh, sure, maybe Uncle John did some bad things and maybe he had some bad qualities in his life. But I'm telling you, when somebody dies, from this example of David, we see it's right to remember the good things. It really is. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. See, Saul persecuted David. But David decided, hey, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to say good things about him. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be not high-minded. Don't think, oh, I'm great. I'm a lot better than him. I'm glad he's finally out of here. No, David didn't think that. He was not high-minded, but he condescended to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. David could have said, this is my chance to get back. Saul did evil things to me. Now I can tell the truth about him now that he's dead and let everybody know how wicked he really was. No. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. David could have said, okay, I'm going to exterminate the rest of the family of Saul. Shore up my kingdom. No, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Turn to Luke chapter 19. In Luke 19, we see Jesus overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And this is near the end of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, because it's hardly any time at all before the people of this city of Jerusalem are going to be yelling out, crucify him! Crucify him! And the very people that he's looking down upon in Luke 19, he knows as omniscient God, he knows they're going to put him on a cross, and they're going to humiliate him and put those nails in his hands and in his feet. And yet look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Go to verse 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Okay, these verses Jesus says, Jerusalem, you don't understand. It's not too many days from now this whole city is going to be leveled. This came true in 70 AD with the invasion. And the whole city of Jerusalem was sieged and then leveled, and even the children died, just like Jesus said would happen. But notice in verse 41, Jesus wasn't gloating about it. He wasn't up there looking over Jerusalem thinking, yeah, you're going to crucify me in a couple days, but 70 years, you're going to get yours. He wept over the city. He mourned. And folks, if there's some people that have put themselves in opposition against you, who've given you a rough time, who've maybe made your place of work rough, or things rough in your neighborhood, folks, that doesn't mean that you could treat them evilly. Jesus wept over them. And David remembers Saul and Jonathan for their excellent qualities. David chooses not to highlight the bad parts of Saul's life. Why? For Israel's sake. You know, there's some bad things we could talk about our military. You know, there's scandals once in a while of, you know, this soldier did this while he was on the battlefield, or he did this with some civilians, and all that's wrong and wicked. But folks, let's choose today to honor the good things. And David honors Saul and Jonathan. You know, there isn't anybody so bad you can't find something good about them. You know why that is? Because we're all made in the image of God. Saul, King Saul, was a good father. His sons would go into battle by his side and die with him. He was such a good father. Look at verse number 22. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. First of all, he honors them for their courage. He says, they wouldn't turn back. No matter how fierce the battle, the sword of Saul and the bow of Jonathan, they're not turning back. They're courageous. And he honored them for their courage. He didn't lie about Saul. He didn't say things about Saul that were not true. But he honored him for his good qualities, his courage. Look in verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. He honors them for their unity. He says they were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. They used their speed and their strength to enhance the unity of the people of God. And although Jonathan had some disagreements with his father during the end time of their lives, especially over David, yet Jonathan was honoring his dad and fighting by his side, and they had that unity in the battle. And David says, let's honor them for that unity. Let's honor them for that courage. Hey, today as we remember the soldiers that have fought for us, let's honor them for the unity and the courage that it took. I read more recently about that Battle of Iwo Jima where they raised that flag. And I found out that it was a tough battle because the Japanese were down in the caves. They actually dug out underneath the lava rock and had little holes that they could shoot up through. And there was like no way to try to flush them out. They had to use flamethrowers to try to get them out of these caves. And so many lost their lives to get that hunk of lava rock for the United States to make it a military base from which we could reach Japan. And so many gave their lives on that day. Folks, it's amazing to think of the courage and the unity that they displayed. We ought to honor them for it. Finally, David honors the memory of King Saul and Jonathan by recounting the extensive blessings. By recounting the extensive blessings. He's going to tell them, listen, Israel, you've got a lot of blessings. You've got a lot of good things that have taken place, and it's because of King Saul and Jonathan. And he helps them remember the blessings. Folks, it's not wrong tomorrow on Memorial Day to rejoice in the blessings. Go ahead and grill out, because you've got the freedom to do so. And you've got enough meat in America that we can grill. You know, and it's the blessings that are upon us because these men and women sacrificed their lives. And David reminds the nation of Israel, and especially his mighty men, he says, hey, the blessings that we have, let's give credit where credit's due. And look at verse number 24. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who hath clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. He says, listen, first of all, remember those material blessings. Guys, we take too much for granted here in America. We've got so many material blessings. Let's thank God for them. And let's thank God for the soldiers that fought so we could have these blessings. Let's not take them for granted, the material blessings. Oh, the blessings we enjoy in America. And I know it's due to the goodness of God, but how did God give it to us? Through the sacrifice of men and women who would fight for our freedom and give their lives. David honors their memory by recounting these blessings. Material blessings, also the blessing of their faithful example. Look at verse 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. High places? Well, they were on the mountain of Gilboa. And Gilboa did belong to the tribe of Benjamin. Maybe that's what he meant. But I think he also meant, Jonathan, you were at a high time in your life. You were in the prime of your life. You were living a good, high example for the rest of the nation of Israel. You were a wonderful example to these people. Now, he doesn't necessarily say that about Saul. He's being honest. But he says, listen, let's remember the blessings. Let's remember that faithful example. Now, the Lord did not allow me to serve in the military. But you know what? If I had to give my life, I hope it would be said that he did his duty. He did his duty. And as Christians, when we get to the end of our Christian walk, may we have, like Jonathan, a faithful example. Jonathan was faithful to his dad, even though his dad wasn't a perfect leader. Jonathan was faithful. And may we be faithful to follow our God. And one of the blessings is the faithful examples. I love American history. I love reading about George Washington and Ben Franklin and Abraham Lincoln. And some of those guys might not even have been saved. A lot of them were, but you know what? They were a faithful example of how a nation ought to be under God and how we ought to treat our fellow citizens here in this land. And David recounts the blessings. Finally, look at verse 26. The blessings included sacrificial love. Verse 26, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, if you know anything about the life of David, you know he loved women. Okay? You know he loved women. Sometimes to a fault. Okay? And we're going to see some things if we continue in 2 Samuel where David really messed up because he loved women. It's ridiculous that some people take this verse and try to make it have sodomite tendencies. You know, David and Jonathan. Ew. No, it wasn't like that at all. That's not what he meant. Because everybody knew David was a real ladies' man. He wasn't homosexual in any way. But what I think we see here is he's extolling the right kind of love. Godly love is sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave. Godly love involves sacrifice. By the way, if things aren't right in the home, it needs to be more godly love. Mom and dad, love those kids more. Sacrifice for them more. Kids, love mom and dad more. Sacrifice for them. Don't think home's all for you and everything is, you know, take care of me, mom and dad. No, you sacrifice for them. If things aren't right between mom and dad, husband and wife, sacrifice for your wife. Sacrifice for your husband. Godly love involves sacrifice. And here, by honoring these dead, David remembers the blessing of their sacrifice. What did Jonathan sacrifice? Just about everything. He told David, he said, I know God wants you to be the next king. And when Jonathan said that, you know what he was sacrificing? His right to the kingdom. He was the king's son. He was the next prince. He was the one that was going to be in line to rule the kingdom. But out of love, he was willing to sacrifice that for David. Love for God, because he knew David was God's plan. But also love for David. And Jonathan was willing to sacrifice that. And then, fighting in this battle, sacrificing his very life. And then in verse 27, one more time, lest we forget, the Bible says, how are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? Folks, let's not forget. As we have your picnics tomorrow or gather with family and friends and have a day off from work, perhaps, and some other things, let's take some time to say, how are the mighty fallen? The brave men and women of our United States. And let's do something in our Christian walk to exercise that freedom in a new way, even as David made a renewed effort for God's cause with the bow. And may we recognize the enemy's outlook and realize that the enemy attacks America because we're a great nation, and the devil attacks your life because God has a great plan for you. And let's recall the excellent qualities of our armed forces, our men and women. And let's recount the extensive blessings that we experience. Let's bow our heads in prayer.